safe. Happy to be chairing the workshop on mental health and first-line prevention, online mass prevention. And first up is Kyle Passamato at the Center for Integrated Healthcare from Syracuse.
Hello. Well, I'm excited to be here to talk about our internet-based expressive writing, and I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this project. Dr. Wumet, who's here, is a current research mentor at the Center for Integrated Health at the Syracuse Veterans Affairs Medical Center. And Dr. Geller is a research mentor from Drexel University, where I received my PhD, and this research was actually conducted while I was at Drexel University. So we don't have any financial or other conflicts with this research. And I want to start off with a little background on kidney transplantation and PTSD, since I imagine this is an area that's unfamiliar to a lot of people. So the kidney is the most commonly transplanted organ, and significant increases in survival rates over the last few decades have allowed for more of a focus to be placed on health-related quality of life and other psychological outcomes after transplantation. And organ transplantation and the disorders leading up to it are conceptualized as possible traumatic experiences and risk factors for psychological distress. Previous research has shown elevated rates of PTSD in kidney, heart, and liver transplant recipients compared to the general population. And both diagnostic level and subthreshold PTSD have been linked to functional impairments and problems in healing from transplantation. So expressive writing is one intervention that has potential for treating PTSD symptoms among medical patients. This was originally created by James Pennebaker as a paper and pencil brief writing intervention. And in general, it asks people to write about their deepest thoughts and emotions regarding a highly stressful experience. And the traditional intervention involves three 15-minute writing sessions. And participants are randomly assigned to either the active writing condition concerning the thoughts and emotions about a highly stressful experience, or a control writing condition where they write about something neutral like time management. While the exact mechanisms of action are not known, it's theorized that in expressive writing, writers cognitively process and organize traumatic memories, gain mastery over the expression of emotions, and writing can lead to the extinction of negative thoughts and feelings. So these are similar mechanisms as other empirically supported treatments for PTSD. A pretty recent meta-analysis of 146 emotional disclosure studies has confirmed the effectiveness of this intervention with a variety of populations and presenting problems. And some studies exploring the impact of expressive writing on PTSD symptom severity have shown pretty large positive effect sizes. There has been a clinical treatment developed using an internet-based expressive writing protocol for traumatized individuals, and there has been some initial research completed on this. Lang and colleagues found that the clinical treatment produced significant decreases in trauma symptoms and also somatization compared to waitlist controls. And internet-based expressive writing has also been shown to be effective in improving health among college students. In addition to the initial support for internet-based expressive writing, there is also other rationale for using an online adaptation of this intervention with kidney transplant recipients. So we know that transplant recipients are frequent users of online health resources, and therefore a large percentage of them are pretty internet savvy. Previous research has found that at-home internet-based quality of life assessments are feasible, and participants have high compliance and satisfaction rates. And in one study, medical patients completed the same quality of life assessments online and in paper and pencil format, and the electronic and written data had comparable reliability and validity and was of the same quality. And computer literacy, level of education, age, sex, and race were not significantly associated with the participants' ability to complete the online questionnaires. So computerized at-home quality of life assessments are usually less taxing for patients since their travel to a medical facility isn't required. Therefore, simple at-home assessments may be a more reliable picture of how the patient is really functioning at home on a daily basis. So our aims for this pilot study was to examine the feasibility and safety of internet-based expressive writing for kidney transplant recipients and conduct a randomized control trial to investigate if expressive writing decreases PTSD symptoms and increases quality of life for kidney transplant recipients. We recruited from three different sources. We recruited at two hospital transplant centers, and here we posted flyers and also had the transplant social workers hand out some flyers. I went and presented at a few local transplant awareness support groups, and these are groups that get together for support and doing different events in the community to bring awareness to transplant. And I also gained permission from several webmasters of the websites listed here to post messages on their message board. And the pie chart, you can see where our participants came from. And so the bulk of them came from the transplant websites, and I'll talk more about feasibility of recruiting from these different places in a few slides. So potential participants were asked if they were interested in participating in a stress management study for kidney transplant recipients. And if they were interested, they were asked to email the study team. Via email, we administered informed consent, and then following consent, we gave a user an ID number and the study website. Here's the content of our website. On the first day, they did baseline self-report measures in their first writing. On the second and third days, they did their second and third writing, and then they logged back on 3 months later to do self-report measures, and we emailed them and remind them to log back on. In addition to sociodemographic questions and some medical history questions, we used two measures of quality of life. One is transplant-specific, and the other one is general health-related quality of life. We also measured PTSD symptoms. Following each writing session, participants answered some questions about their adherence to the writing instructions they were given. And at 3 month follow-up, we administered a questionnaire that looked at reactions to the protocol. So what the intervention was is that participants were randomly assigned to the expressive writing condition, where they are asked to write about their deepest thoughts and feelings regarding kidney, specifically regarding kidney transplant and failure. And our control condition was a medical fact condition, where they wrote a detailed account of facts regarding their kidney failure and transplant and their treatment before transplant. All participants were told not to worry about spelling or grammar, but just to write, and if they ran out of things to write about, just to repeat what they had already said and to continue writing for the full 15 minutes. And our website timed how long they wrote, and people were pretty good about writing for the appropriate amount of time. So we were able to recruit 48 participants for this pilot study. A little over half were female, the average age was 46. It's missing on this slide, but about three quarters were Caucasian. On average, they had a high school education. You can see the yearly income in American dollars there. About half were employed. Many of them had been suffering from some kidney failure for, on average, 13 years. And they had received 2 years of dialysis and had been 2 years since their kidney transplant. So as far as feasibility, 40% of the individuals who were given information about the study did agree to participate. And you can see that only 3% of people who were recruited from hospitals participated. What we found is that a lot of people said they wanted to do it, but then just didn't follow through, didn't go home, log onto the internet with the information we'd given them. The local awareness groups and the websites, people was much more feasible recruitment sites. And it was really because I think these people were pretty highly motivated. If someone is going to attend a local support group or go to a transplant-specific website, there are people who want to know more and maybe looking for support around their transplant issues. At three-month follow-up, participants denied having any emotional distress. They denied contacting a mental health or medical professional about their distress, and they reported no adverse reactions. So as far as we can tell, this was a safe intervention. We also measured the adherence to the intervention protocol as we expected. After each writing session, participants in the expressive writing condition rated their essays as significantly more personal, more revealing of their emotions, and that they told, they previously told others less about the content compared to the control group. And at 3 months, at 3 month follow-up, the expressive writers had thought about their essays significantly more and said that the essays impacted their life more than people who wrote about just their medical facts. Well, we reviewed all the writings that were completed for safety issues immediately after the writings were completed. One-third of them were randomly selected to be thoroughly reviewed for adherence to the writing instructions. On the whole, people did adhere to the writing instructions. However, we did find five medical fact writings that did contain some emotion, but it was much fewer emotion and thought words than the experimental condition. Here is our mean scores for our three main outcome measures, and I also included the PTSD subscales there. And the two things to notice here is that the two dark lines, the dark blue and dark purple, those are our baseline, and there weren't any significant differences across the measures. And also, there, the decreases in the experimental group from pre to post, which would be the dark purple to the light purple. You can see that in each of the groups there was at least somewhat of a decrease. So we performed repeated measures, ANOVAs and MANOVAs, to explore group and time differences. There was a significant improvement in transplant-related quality of life at follow-up for the expressive writers. Both general quality of life and PTSD decreased for both groups over time, and a decrease in PTSD arousal symptoms over time for the expressive writers approached significance. To begin to explore the clinical significance of these results, we calculated effect sizes. We found a large effect size for the group times time interaction for transplant-specific quality of life, so that 16% of the variance in transplant-related quality of life is accounted for by the interaction between time and group. And then we found medium effect sizes for the main effect of time on PTSD and a medium effect size for the group by time interaction for arousal symptoms. So in summary, we found that a brief writing intervention can be safely implemented via the internet. Participants who engaged in expressive writing showed significant decreases in their transplant-related quality of life compared to the control group. And both groups showed significant decreases in transplant-related PTSD symptoms. And the expressive writing group demonstrated a larger decrease in arousal symptoms that approached statistical significance, and medium to large effect sizes were observed. The expressive writing seemed to have the largest impact on transplant-specific quality of life, and it's likely because this measure is more sensitive to change because it has many items that are uniquely relevant to kidney transplant recipients. They inquire about things like the fear of organ rejection, physical problems like aching joints, and specific concerns about appearance such as excessive hair growth. And since a smaller size was recruited for this project than was originally anticipated, a post hoc power analysis was computed. And we we were adequately powered for both quality of life outcomes, but not for the PTSD outcome. And this may help explain the lack of significant PTSD results, despite the expressive writing group having greater mean reductions in PTSD symptoms over time. We learned a lot about this initial study, and that helped us change several elements in a current internet-based expressive writing study we're doing for a different population. Some of the recommendations we have is, with such a brief intervention, it's important to not wait to assess outcomes 3 months post the intervention, but to do an earlier assessment point as well. And a larger N would, of course, enable us to have more adequate power, but also allow us to look at moderators such of outcomes such as PTSD severity or gender, and also mediators of the intervention to look at emotional arousal and cognitive processing during the writing, which may help explain any results that that come from these expressive writing studies. And also assessing PTSD with a clinical interview, a structured clinical interview, would provide more accurate data. In conclusion, internet-based expressive writing shows promise in increasing quality of life and possibly decreasing PTSD symptoms. Medium to large effect sizes were observed, and these demonstrated that the simple act of expressing thoughts and emotions in a structured way can lead to clinically significant changes for participants. And I think we have a few minutes for questions. Yeah.
What if there was a dose response curve where you looked at like number of characters typed in as a predictor of degree of response, or if you, I know you have measures of expressed emotion, whether there was an intensity of expression that was related to signs of effect that you looked at all?
Like the intensity of emotion moderating the effect.
Yeah, right.
It's possible. One thing we looked at that isn't presented here is we looked at different people's ability to express emotions, whether something like alexithymia or emotional suppression was related to outcomes. And it really, our pilot was just too small to find any results like that. But previous research has found that the more people express, the more benefit they'll get. And also the more people express, the more emotional arousal they have during the writing, and then more benefit that they get.
This is a somewhat medical question. Based on the time span for rejection, extending, you know, 1 year is often seen as a resurgence in rejection, particularly in heart transplants, and where the impact of long-term anti-rejection drugs can kick in. Have you considered doing a longer-term study to evaluate the vicissitudes that occur throughout that initial year after transplant?
It is interesting, and I think as far as the doing a tighter study with the timing of assessments where you really could assess somebody immediately post-transplant and then follow them for that first year where rejection is a real possibility, I think would be interesting. We probably picked up on some of that in this study since on average people were 2 years post-transplant, but we're not able to kind of pick apart those results to look at it. But it's a good suggestion. Anything else? Oh.
Did the participants knew that their expressive writings or the other forms of writing could be evaluated by the researchers? Because I think that could have been of influence on what they wrote.
Yes, that's a good point. They have some researchers have looked at that before, and they found that it does influence it, and that people who believe their writings will be read, they often benefit more from it. And we did inform all people that their writings would be read, and if there was any safety issues or concerns, they would be receiving a call from a researcher, and also we were looking to make sure they stuck to the instructions. Anything else? All right, well, thank you.